Hello and welcome everyone. Thank you again for having me this week. I just caught the tail end of listening to Amy speak. Right when I signed on, I heard this question that she asked. Where does our smile originate from? It's so beautiful. What a beautiful question. And so I invite us to sit with this question. Allow this question to draw us inward. Allow it to pull us deep into our heart, deep into our radiance. And so, can we do this? Can we fall into our heart this moment? Can we let go out of our mind and fall into the heart? Oftentimes, I think of falling into the heart as if you could imagine coming home from a long day at work and having there be a bed behind you, like turning around so you're not facing the bed, but the bed is up against the back of your knees. And giving yourself permission just to let go, to fall backwards into the bed. It's the same invitation with our heart this evening. Can we fall backwards? Can we let go of whatever it is that we carry, whatever it is that we struggle with? And let go into the heart. As you do this, you may notice a gentle radiance, very simple and quiet love. Perhaps a profound peace and luminous emptiness. So I invite you to join me in experiencing directly the depth of your being, the depth of your true nature. And as we let go in this way, we begin to experience how blessed we are. How blessed we are to be awake, to be alive, to be radiant. How blessed we are by the beauty of our own divinity. So we're letting go into this beauty. And many of you will begin to notice as you let go out of the limited view of ego, you begin to open into the unlimited view of true nature. And so as we sit in this way, I invite you to open your crown chakra, your third eye, your throat chakra. Of course, our heart is already opening and expanding. I invite you to open the solar plexus, the hara, the root chakra. And notice as all seven chakras begin to open and awaken, the whole spine begins to light up, feel alive and vibrant, filled with light. I notice a gentle stream of prana or kundalini energy rising up the spine. I notice a gentle stream of grace coming down from above. And when we sit in this way, we want to include every aspect of ourselves. So we include all seven chakra centers, all awakening and radiating outward, filling this body, filling this form with grace, with love, with divinity. And so we can just notice anywhere in our body which is tight and tense, we invite that area to relax. Any of those areas to relax, especially the jaw and the shoulders, the sacrum, upper back, mid back, lower back, pelvic floor, inner thighs. We're inviting everything to relax and simply to let go. To let go into this divinity that you are. Any tension within us is welcome simply to unravel into this divinity, to spread itself out. And so we're fully letting go here and fully opening and experiencing that which is good, that which is true, that which is beautiful about our nature. And especially this evening, you may notice the feeling of infinity. This timeless letting go, this timeless expansion in every direction. It's a beautiful thing. We are blessed each time we come together. Blessed by God's grace, blessed by our own true nature, and blessed by the true nature of each and every one of us who's come here this evening. And so we're opening to this blessing. We're fully receiving what's here. Opening this doorway of infinity. What is infinity? What is the hugeness of my nature? How big is it? How profound are we? How spacious and vast are we? How big is the space of my own mind? How bright is the love of our own heart? So we are open to the direct experience of our divinity, And what is my experience? What is our experience when we give ourselves permission to fully commune with the hugeness that's here? Your job is only to sit here, to let go, to experience, to feel, to be receptive to God's grace, to your own divinity. Can you let go into yourself? And notice what's here, beyond thought, beyond emotion. What's truly here? What is it that's divine about us? What is it that's radiant and beautiful? What is it that's vast and spacious and awake right here, right now? Can you fall in love with the hugeness of your own nature? Can you fall in love with God and see that God's nature and your nature is one? That my nature and your nature are one? You open into this eternal, infinite radiance. We truly open and see how bright and how beautiful we truly are. It radically breaks our heart open. Radically breaks our heart open. Most of us live our whole lives with a closed heart, in a guarded way, a shielded way, an anxious way. But this moment, can we release every wall? Every shield. Can we open this doorway and trust that this is God's world, a divine world? Can we trust in our own strength, our own heart, our own divinity? Can we surrender our minds, our busy minds, into the hugeness of what we are? The hugeness of what we are. And so the invitation here is to take this backward step, to descend into the heart, to let go fully. And as we open into the heart, we look around, we explore the hugeness of our nature. The absolute divinity of our nature. Give ourselves permission to be awestruck by the hugeness that's here when we simply let go. Let go out of mind, out of ego. And into the absolute divinity of our own heart space. So as we let go in this way, you may feel your heart being filled with bliss, with ananda, deep experience of contentment, deep experience of love. You may notice your mind becoming quiet and spacious and free. You may experience your body as being vast and empty, and simultaneously luminous and filled with light. And so we're letting go into the hugeness of our own presence. The hugeness of the presence of God. One presence. And so in this space of absolute divinity, we can gently smile. We can have a deep appreciation for our divinity, the divinity of each other, and the divinity of God. Deep sense of gratitude and love. For ourself, for each other, and for God. It's funny how amazing life becomes when we're willing simply to put down the old commentary, the old judgmental and complaining voice. Life becomes so beautiful when we put that down and just step into the hugeness of what we are. There's not many times in life when we are really thankful for our own presence. But it really is a gift what we are. It really is a divine miracle what we are. Our whole lives, most of us have these minds that are wanting, desiring more. Struggling or fighting with life. But something radically beautiful happens when we just simply stop. Drop out of the complaining or desiring mind. And give yourself the gift of experiencing the hugeness of your divinity. In fact, I think if I spoke about this, if I spoke about this on CNN or Fox News, people might wonder, what is this man speaking about? What does he mean, this gift? What does he mean, the hugeness of our own divinity? Most of us are so busy with our lives, and in the busyness, we tend to either complain or desire. So that's the nature of the human mind, is to be unsatisfied. But this moment, I invite you into the space of Ananda. Which is often translated as bliss, but true Ananda means deep contentment, being deeply content. And it's not being content in a cold and dead way. It's being content because we are connected with the hugeness of our heart, the beauty of our heart. The radiance of our own nature. And within the space of this contentment, we begin to feel, we begin to experience bliss and radiance and love in all directions. We are content because we are so flooded. So flooded with grace, so flooded with love, so flooded with divinity. That we simply smile, simply are at ease, simply are at peace. And so I invite you into this space of acknowledging how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, how divine you are. Well, we could look through our house and acknowledge all the practical things that make us happy, all the material things that make us happy. We could acknowledge the fact that we have a job or that we're retired and we have free time, or we could acknowledge that we have food in the refrigerator and be thankful for this. And this is wonderful. By all means, please. The doorway of gratitude is a doorway to our divinity. But in this moment, I'm inviting an acknowledgement, a gratitude for the hugeness of what you are. And if you aren't feeling this, if you aren't experiencing this, it could be because you're stuck in your mind, because there's complaining happening. It could be because there's unresolved pain within your consciousness. And none of those things are bad or wrong. We can absolutely address those. But one of the great ways of addressing these is simply to step out of the head and into the heart and give yourself permission to go deep into the heart space, to feel, to experience directly the hugeness of your divinity. And so often in the spiritual world, we are waiting for someone to come save us. We are waiting until we've meditated 10,000 hours, or 20,000 hours, or 30,000 hours. We are waiting for a moment of insight. But if there's any aspect of ourself which is struggling, which is living a life of suffering, which is living enslaved to the internal critic or judge, if there's any aspect of ourself which is at war with itself, I mean, inviting us to step out of this space and into this absolute beauty that we are. And notice, we don't need to fight with ourselves. We don't need to fight with people who aren't present. We don't need to fight with most of anything in this world. Our whole life changes when we simply open our hearts and fall in love with what we are. And as we do so, this greater intelligence comes forward. This greater love and compassion, not only for ourselves, but for all of life. For all of life. Yesterday, a friend came. He came to visit me, and he said, "Craig, I'm headed out to the desert. Would you like to come?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I would love to come." And I looked at my wife, and I told her I wanted to go out to the desert, and she looked really sad because I was going to leave her with a 3-year-old. And I started to go out and get in the car with my friend. And I said, "Why don't you come, sweetie?" And so she and my 3-year-old, we all came out to the desert. And when we arrived at this space we call the desert, we had been in the car, the car for a couple hours, and we were chit-chatting about this and that. But one of my favorite things to do is just drive and watch the hugeness of the sky unfold. Give myself permission to merge into the hugeness of the sky. And when we arrived at the gateway to Canyonlands National Park, this place I go often called Indian Creek, Utah, as we got out of the car, I was struck by the supreme silence of the desert. It just stopped all of us, including my 3-year-old, it even stopped her. And she can be a real chatterbox. We got out and we saw the blueness of the sky. It was so blue, so vast, so spacious, and it was absolutely silent. And when you step into a silence like this, it awakens your silence. This profound experience of silence that we all are. It awakens us to this space that is here before any thought arises. One of the great Zen questions, great Zen contemplations is who am I before a thought arises? Who are you before any thought arises? Who is this space? Who is this quietude? And I would even say, who is this quietude before, during, and after a thought arises? I was speaking with another friend yesterday, and he was telling me that he had many thoughts and he believed them. And he was wanting me to tell him that he was bad for believing his thoughts. But I wasn't going to tell him he was bad for believing his thoughts. I simply invited him to notice, what is this space? What's the space that's here in which your thoughts arise? And I don't care if you have one thought or 10,000 thoughts, but can you notice the space in which your thoughts arise? Can you notice that that space is pure? It's awake, it's aware. It's radiant, it's alive, it's beautiful. And so in any moment we have a choice. We can pay attention to all the busyness of our minds, or we can pay attention to the absolute silence of our nature. And Jesus, he went out into the desert. And the desert is a great metaphor for the space of meditation, the space of our true nature. Because the desert is so quiet, so vast, so empty, and yet there's a subtle aliveness to it. And so when Jesus went out into the desert, as the story goes, he met this fellow called Satan. And we could imagine that it's, Satan was, this really evil guy who was, red and had horns and a tail. But, that just sounds silly, doesn't it? It sounds kind of archaic. I think what Satan was simply the ego. It's the aspect of ourself which is divisive, which is confused, which is doesn't know who we truly are. And so if Jesus went out into the desert and he was silent and he experienced this inner division, well, I wouldn't expect any of us not to have a similar experience. So this student of mine who was saying, "Oh, Craig, I believe my thoughts." That's okay. It's okay if you believe your thoughts. But then can you let them go? The ones which aren't helpful, can you let them go without judging yourself? One of the great qualities of awareness is a non-judgmentalness. We don't want to judge ourselves for having thoughts. Where do thoughts come from, anyways? They come from God. They come from life. We don't need to judge ourselves for having a thought. But the invitation is, if you're having some discursive thoughts which are unhelpful, can we let them go and commune with the hugeness of our nature? Can we let go of that which is confused, that which is ignorant, that which is stubborn, that which is deluded about our own self? Can we let go of that and step into our absolute divinity? Can we step into the absolute silence of the desert sky? Can we step into the absolute silence of the night sky and feel that deep sense of relief that comes forward when we truly let go? Truly let go. The more and more we let go into this space, happier, more at peace we become. And so I invite you this evening, if you're feeling this peace, if you're feeling this grace, if you're feeling the spaciousness of your nature, be grateful. Smile at your own divinity. Acknowledge the beauty that you truly are. What are the qualities that's required for us to be awake in the world? Is for you to acknowledge your own divinity. And you have to rest there. You have to wake up and acknowledge, my God, I am beautiful. Not in an arrogant way or an egotistical way, but as an act of sadhana. An act of acknowledging the beauty of God in you as you. And when you begin to acknowledge this within you, you see it everywhere. You see yourself everywhere. You see God everywhere. You live in a way, begin to live in a way which is undivided. Undivided. You know, so many people I've met, they've been trained by life, by their parents, by the school system, by the coaches, by their ancestors, whatever it is. They were trained to think that they were no good, rotten scoundrels. And oftentimes, as spiritual seekers, we can spot our own egoic nature. We go on these attacks where we attack ourselves and judge ourselves for having an ego. Yet we forgot that God gave us an ego. God gave us our humanity. And it's the opposite of being compassionate to attack ourselves. It's literally the opposite of being compassionate. Every time we judge ourselves, it's like drinking a glass of poison. If we judge another, we're serving them poison. When we listen to the collective consciousness, you know, that tells us, you know, silly stories like original sin, like we were born with sin. When we do that, we're taking a step toward hell, towards division. Yet when we wake up and say, my God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this body, for this form. Thank you for this big heart that I have and this radiant, spacious nature. Thank you. When we open into the hugeness of our divinity, we walk out of hell and towards heaven. We walk out of division and into the light. We mustn't ever believe that what we are is no good. What we are is God. Now we may not be at the most highest level of existence in this moment. We may have times in our days when we fall on our fall on the ground or either make a little mistake or a big mistake. But if you let go of that mistake and come back into your true nature, acknowledge your divinity, ask your heart, how shall I go forward, Lord? Something beautiful begins to wake up in you. You don't buy into the illusion that we are just human animals. And you forgive yourself. For whatever it is that you think you did, and come back into the light, you are opening the doorway to God, opening the doorway to true freedom, true awakening. And we must all fundamentally know that we are good. We're good. That life is good. When we come into true clarity, we see that all is good. All is good. That the very nature of this world is absolute goodness. And yet, you know, for those of you who may be wondering, well, what about all the terrible things in the world? Yes, those terrible things are simply lower levels of existence, lower manifestations of divinity, lower manifestations of our evolutionary nature. But behind it all is radiant, luminous divinity. Radiant, luminous divinity. And so can we be grateful for what we are? And as we acknowledge this, the more we acknowledge it, the more it manifests. The more you acknowledge your awakened nature, the more it manifests itself in the world, in your life, in your consciousness. God doesn't need any more wet noodles in the world. What God needs is spiritual individuals who are willing to act on their truth, who are willing to be their truth, who are willing to acknowledge their truth, and the truth of others in this world. God needs individuals who are willing to shine their light into the darkness, to open their hearts to love in every direction. And the way we are able to do this in an empowered and embodied way, first, we must acknowledge our own divinity. We must fall in love with our own true nature and bow before it the same way we would bow before Christ or the Buddha or God, God herself. For if we don't bow before our true nature, we are actually unconsciously bowing before our ego and allowing it to be the boss of us, allowing it to be the boss of life. And when we allow our ego to be the boss of life, to be the boss of us, we end up having a world that's wrecked. with delusion and sadness and anger and rage and confusion and all the silly things you see on the news and all the silly things most of us struggle with. But when you acknowledge your divinity and commit yourself to it, when you fall in love with your absolute beauty, beauty is born into form. Beauty shines throughout your heart and into this world. And so one of the great gifts we can give ourselves this day is being thankful for our divinity. It's a willingness to acknowledge it fully. I can remember being a young fellow working for my teacher. I was probably, 19 or 20 years old. And I was doing some painting work for him. I was painting one of the retreat rooms. And in that moment, I had my paintbrush and my roller and my roller tray and, maybe 5 gallons of paint. I probably had paint all over my clothes and on my hands and that. I looked like a painter. And I was even having this thought that I'm a painter. And my teacher came into the room and he said to me, "Craig, what are you?" I remember laughing and thinking, "Well, in this moment, I'm a painter." He said, "No, you're a child of God." I smiled. He said, "You're a warrior of God." I said, "Yes, I am. Yes, I am." To be a great master in this world, we must know what we are. We must acknowledge it. We must choose to live from the highest place within ourselves. The highest place. We mustn't be confused by our temporary career or circumstances or whatever it is that we are doing in a practical way. We mustn't be confused by the form. But our path really begins to become powerfully informed when we know who and what it is we are. Oh, I'm a child of God. Then we're willing to take responsibility for our life. We're willing to take responsibility for our thoughts and our emotions. We're willing to say no to that which is lower and yes to that which is higher. We're willing to give ourselves permission to become a vehicle of great love, of great service in this world. We're willing to forgive ourselves and to forgive others when we make little mistakes or big mistakes. We're willing to be the truth when we know what it is that we are. But if we don't know what we are, well, then we just become like a ping pong ball, just bouncing. Bouncing in whatever direction the wind blows. So one of the things about being unconscious is when we are unconscious, whatever it is that we are thinking, that's what we are. Whatever it is that we are feeling, that's what we are. But when we are conscious, truly awake, we know what we are. We are the direct experience of our own divinity. We are this vast, spacious emptiness, vast, spacious love. We are the hugeness and beauty of our own heart space. And we choose to live from this space because we know this is what we are. If we have a silly thought, we don't follow the silly thought. If we have an out of control emotion, we say, no, I'm not going down that road. I know who and what it is that I am. I am this absolute divinity. I'm not going to be carried away by my past or my temper or my rage or whatever it is or my addiction to this or that. I'm going to stand in my truth and be this truth in the world. And so, yes, this is the ongoing invitation this evening. The ongoing invitation for the rest of our life. Can we wake up? Can we fall in love with our own divinity and commit ourselves to a life of truth, a life of love, a life of service and compassion? And it all starts with ourselves. Can we be compassionate to that inner child within us who struggles? Can we be compassionate to our frightened and neurotic egos? Can we be compassionate to the silly thoughts, the painful emotions that float through our consciousness? When we are compassionate to ourselves, when we learn to be compassionate to ourselves, our pain heals, our division falls away, and then it becomes easy to love in the world. But when we ignore ourselves, when we ignore the hugeness of our divinity and the humbleness of our humanity, well, then we'll just be lost in the world. Lost in confusion, lost in desire, lost in addiction. Lost in our own struggle. A struggle that doesn't even belong to us. A struggle that was given to us by this world. And so the great invitation is, can we take the time? Can we commit ourselves to discovering the hugeness of divinity that we are? Can we surrender that which is lower to that which is higher? Can we come into our hearts and smile and say, I love you. I love you. To our highest nature. Can we plant roots there and say, yes, this is me. This is me. I'm not the person my parents told me I am. I'm not the person my boss told me I was. My sense of self-worth isn't dependent on how many likes I get on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or whatever else it is. Can I step into this beauty that I am? This absolute radiance. Can I step into this and say, yes, this is me. This is me. Thank God this is me. I'm so happy to be me. And the funny thing is, when you step into this childlike innocence that you are, you begin to see yourself everywhere. The walls of ego fall away. And you see love and freedom and goodness everywhere. And yes, so thank you all for joining me this evening. I know I'm supposed to remind everyone. This note here. I want to thank you all for the generous donations you've offered on my website. There's a PayPal link there if you feel moved and you'd like to offer a donation to support these teachings. It's very helpful. So thank you for those. And thank you all for showing up and sharing your hearts with me. Each time I sit here with you, I feel blessed by your divinity. I feel blessed by love. I feel blessed by your hugeness. And so I encourage us all to continue to open, continue to love, to continue to fall in love with ourself. One of the experiences of meditation is falling in love with ourself. So many people I meet with, they see meditation as work. They see it as a chore. They see it as this thing that's, it's a pain in the butt, to do, and we're supposed to do it, and it's supposed to be done in some perfect way. But true meditation is you sitting in love with yourself, sitting in love with God. It's a beautiful experience. And it doesn't have to be just sitting on a cushion. It could be walking in a desert, holding hands with your loved one. It could be nursing a child or holding a child in your lap and just loving. Just loving. This is what meditation truly is. It's a time to sit in silence and love and be loved. So thank you all so much. You all have a wonderful evening and a happy Thanksgiving. May peace be with you all, and have a great night.